Few forces can match the power of fanaticism. One that comes close is wounded pride. Conversations with Muad'Dib by the Princess Irulan. Over the past several years, Jessica had already heard enough news about the jihad's atrocities, things that Paul allowed to be done in his name. But more stories found her, whether or not she wanted to hear or believe them. Each time a highliner passed over Caladan, Mayor Horvu and the redoubtable village priest Abo Sintra hurried to the castle to report the traveler's tales. Meaning well, the two men showed Jessica official Kizaret releases, as well as unofficial documents spread by horrified survivors of jihad attacks. "We beseech you to review these stories, and please do something, my lady," Horvu pleaded. "He is your son." "Help him return to the just and honorable path," said the priest, who had long ago officiated at Duke Leto's disastrous wedding ceremony. "Paul will listen to his mother. Help him remember that he was an Atreides long before he became this fanatical desert leader." After Jessica shooed the men away, she avoided looking at the reports for a long time. Finally, she retired to a private room, calling Gurney to join her. The two sat with disturbed expressions as they read the reports. Three more planets had been completely sterilized, scalded clean of all life, their populations exterminated. Every living thing. And this was condoned by Paul, a man who espoused the ecological awakening and careful terraforming of Arrakis, a man who had just established and endowed a new school of planetology in honor of Cheney's father. That makes four worlds gone now. And each atrocity seemed to be getting easier for him. Her voice was a chilling whisper. "What can he be thinking? It's murder." Paul's first step down that slippery slope was when he punished Earl Thorvald and his rebels, wiping out the planet Ypir, my lady. Jessica frowned. "In that instance, Thorvald was en route to Caladan to annihilate us. All of Caladan was threatened, the Atreides' homeworld. That was an attack aimed at Paul himself, something he could not ignore. Most of those who died on Ypir, women, children, ordinary people, were undoubtedly innocent." Gurney could not tear his eyes away from the images he saw now. Jessica's tone dropped off in sadness. "It was a dreadful price, but I can almost accept what he did in response. He had to send a message that would prevent further rebellious acts. But these other planets..." She shook her head and set her jaw firmly. "He must have had his reasons. I know my son. I raised him, and I cannot accept that he does this capriciously or vindictively." Making it more difficult on them, the Emperor had not explained himself, and his followers took it on faith that what Muad'Dib foresaw and decreed must be necessary. Jessica could not brush aside her vivid memories of Paul as a precocious child, a talented youth who struggled against adversity and emerged victorious, stronger and, so she'd always believed, with his core of Atreides' honor intact. As his mother, she could not simply condemn him out of hand, nor could she ignore, excuse, or rationalize his recent actions. "I would feel better if I understood his overall plan. I'm afraid Paul is slipping and sliding toward oblivion, making up new excuses as fast as he finds fresh targets, my lady." The pair reviewed images of smoking battlefields. A Kizaret spokesman, speaking into the imager, proudly identified the numerous bodies strewn across the fields as those who refused the blessings of Muad'Dib. On each battleground, the slain numbered in the tens of thousands. Jessica saw that the celebrants who ran across fields and plundered the bodies of the dead were Paul's jihadi fighters. In the foreground, Vessels were clearly marked as medical ships carrying hospital troops and battlefield surgeons. But Jessica spotted something in the background of the high-resolution image that the Kizaret had either not noticed or never intended to report upon. She enhanced the view, zeroed in on several large, unmarked ships that hovered at the edges of the bloody field. There, small-statured men scurried out of transport vessels to comb over the slain, discarding many corpses, marking others. Handlers came afterward with suspensor-borne pallets and loaded bodies aboard, stacked them like split logs, then carried their grisly harvest back to the unmarked vessels. Gods below, those are Tleilaxu, handlers of the dead retrieving corpses. But not all of the corpses, Jessica pointed out with a frown. They're using some kind of selection process. If those were simply mortuary vessels, the Tleilaxu would gather every dead body. Why do they choose particular ones? And what are they doing with them? As soon as each cadaver craft was fully loaded, the cargo doors sealed shut and it lifted off, groaning with the weight of so many bodies aboard. As soon as one vessel departed, another unmarked ship dropped to the battlefield and began the same process. Before either Jessica or Gurney could postulate any answers, a brisk knock at the door interrupted them. A young castle page spoke quietly.
"A guild courier is here, my lady, bearing a message from your son, the Holy Emperor."
The uniformed guild employee who appeared moments later was female, though her short hair and loose single suit gave her an androgynous appearance. She handed over a message cylinder with a slight and efficient bow.
"My Lady Jessica, Muad'Dib commissioned me to deliver this to you."
She accepted the cylinder and dismissed the woman. After the door closed, Jessica promptly unsealed the message, which was written in Atreides' battle language. A personal letter from Paul. Jessica had no secrets from Gurney, and she allowed him to look over her shoulder. "Dear Mother, I know you prefer to remain on Caladan away from imperial politics, but I have an important favor to ask. It would mean a great deal to me. After my victory on Arrakis, I promised Shaddam in his exile that I would send terraformers to Seleucus Secundus. Once I established my school of planetology, I dispatched skilled workers to begin the task, and now the time has come for a thorough inspection of their work. I am sending both Chaney and Irulan, who can speak and observe for me, but I would greatly appreciate your attendance. You see things from a different perspective, Mother. I'd like you to be my independent eyes and ears." Jessica rolled up the message, deep in thought. "Of course I'll go. But first I have an important duty to perform tonight. For Caladan." As the sunset colors deepened under a clear evening sky, Jessica led a small procession of villagers up into the coastal hills for the annual folk festival of the Empty Man. Each year, on the night of the autumn solstice, the people gathered to celebrate the legendary defeat of evil with a large bonfire and an effigy burning on the cliffs above the crashing surf. More so than in previous years, the procession had to be kept carefully private, the Caladan natives not wanting the off-world pilgrims to pollute their culture. Let the off-worlders wonder what sort of ceremony was being held and why they had not been invited. Villagers streamed up a well-worn trail to the grassy headlands, leaving the harbor and town behind. They carried firebrands for torches to light after dark. Jessica walked regally at the head of the group with her chin held high. The crowd reached their destination as the night's chill pulled a thin mist from the sea. A huge pile of twisted driftwood and kindling stood like an island at the edge of the cliff. Atop this, a stick framework held a sagging suit of clothes, the effigy of the Empty Man.